Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wildcard weekend is underway. 10-0 Buffalo leading Houston. Second quarter in Texas. Tomorrow, the Minnesota Vikings take on the New Orleans Saints at the Superdome. The Vikes are 10-6. The Saints are 13-3. And joining us now, one of the all-time great Minnesota Vikings, number 44. He's in the Ring of Honor. Our good friend Chuck Foreman. Chuck, happy 2020.
Yeah, happy 2020, Eric. I'm hoping it's going to be a great one.
All right, well, you excelled as a running back in the day, running the ball, catching the ball, similar things that Dalvin Cook does now. He's got a chest injury, a shoulder injury. What do you expect out of Dalvin coming back tomorrow? Because they certainly need him.
Well, certainly I'm sure he's going to be out there giving it the best he has, and he's had 2 weeks to heal. And at this particular time, of the year, playoff time, you got to be able to strap it up and go at it, even if you got a few injuries out there, in order to advance. And I think Dalvin will do that. I have every confidence in the world he'll come out there and give us his best.
Yeah, and Chuck, you've been out there in the trenches, and it gets, you know, physical. When the opposition knows you've got an upper body injury, are they going to maybe hit you a little bit higher than they normally would just to make you feel the pain?
Well, I'm sure there'll be that. I'm sure that conversation's going on out there. That's for sure. But you know, I think Dalvin will be up to the task, and you know, I'm just worried about the team being prepped and ready, because I, for one, don't believe in giving your starters the time off before the playoffs, because that's the time you need to be tuning up to get ready. So I'm not sure what team's going to show up tomorrow. I mean, if they come out and play like they're capable of playing, you know, I'm certainly, like I've said before, they've got as much talent as anybody in the game today. But it just seems like, you know, sometimes that talent doesn't show up on a consistent basis. So hopefully, you know, the time off will work for them. But my opinion, and through my experiences back in my time, I don't think that would be the right time to give that many people the day off.
Yeah, Chuck, and you bring up an interesting point. I was at the game Sunday, Chicago and Minnesota, and Greg Coleman, one of your former teammates, was interviewing Paul Krause, who you also played with, the Hall of Famer, on the Jumbotron. So everybody in the building could hear this interview, and Paul said to Greg, if I were the coach, my first string would be playing today. And a lot of the fans applauded what Paul had to say. Now, some will say that's old school, but you just said what Paul said. You lose some rhythm, don't you?
You certainly do, and I don't, you know, old school or not, you know, the bottom line is this: what we did worked, and the game was more physical back then. Everything goes until the whistle blows, and so the game is a little more softer now. I mean, the guys are bigger, you know, they got a lot of things going on to help them physically. But you know, look here, man, let me put it to you this way: this ain't rocket science, okay? It's one-on-one, man-on-man, the most physical, the smartest win. And that's just the way it is. So, I don't know, people keep saying, oh, the game is changed. Yeah, it's changed. You know, the rules have changed. All that's changed. You know, you got guys out there, they have all these stats that are blown up because why? Well, you know, you got a wide receiver, they can go out there and catch 100 and some passes. Well, anybody could. You can't touch them. You know, you can't do anything. Offensive linemen back in the day, when they blocked, they couldn't put their hands on the defensive lineman and put their hands inside and hold them inside. or anything like that. Everything's changed. So you got guys rushing for 1,700-1,800 yards, but, you know, back then, you know, that wasn't happening. So, you know, they can say what they want about the game. You know, yeah, they're making more money, and I like that. And you know what? And I'm glad the rules have changed because it's made the game safer. But don't compare that time to this time. Don't compare stats of now to back then, because it's not right, it's not fair, and it's just not the same, because the game was totally, totally different.
Yeah, and you once told me, as we talked to Chuck Foreman, one of the all-time great Minnesota Vikings, and you can catch him after the game tomorrow with Jim Rich and Tyrone Carter on the Fox 9 post-game show, breaking it down. You can also listen to CCO as well. But as you once told me...
And also, Eric, you can go to this thing. It's called See a Star. And if you want to talk to us about the game or anything like that, go onto that app and then go, and you can talk to a whole bunch of us former players about the game and anything else.
All right, good stuff. So you can watch it on the tube, listen on the radio, or do it in cyberspace. We have you connected with Minnesota Viking reaction. But you once told me, Chuck, you can't compare eras. And I was thinking about that earlier today. Michael Thomas has 149 catches for the Saints, most in a single season in NFL history. He's a great player. We know Drew Brees is fabulous. But those numbers would be a lot different in the 70s and 80s, wouldn't they?
Believe me. You know, all these guys with all these stats, you know, and the 149. You know, you have Lynn Barney. You have people like that getting on you, bumping you all the way downfield, beating you up, you know, all the way downfield until the ball was released. And all these great, great defensive backs. You're not catching 149 passes. You're not going to be rushing for 17, 18, 2,000 yards. It ain't happening. You see, it's just everything has changed, and then they blow up these stats and make these guys bigger than they really are, and they aren't. They're, you know, they're good, no question about it. But, you know, don't sit here and tell me that, you know, Drew Brees or whomever else is the greatest quarterback that ever lived. Heck, you can't even touch him. They got to, you know, you can't do anything. And I remind people all the time, when I talk to people, of one of the pictures I saw in the magazine one time, and that was even before my time. But, you know, when the defensive lineman had, it was open season on quarterbacks. You know, their thing was to get to the quarterback and make sure he couldn't do anything. And I saw this guy, his name was Y.A. Tittle, on his knees, played for the New York Giants. And he was bleeding. He had his helmet off. He was on his knees on the field. And he was bleeding all in his face. And that's the kind of damage that defenses used to be able to do to you. So don't sit up here and tell me that you got all these quarterbacks that are going to be so much greater than these guys, Johnny Unitas and Fran Tarkentons and all that, you know, when can't anybody touch you? You come in, you touch the quarterback, you know, you get a flag. So, no, it's unfair to compare the game of today of the game of yesterday, because it's just totally, totally different physically and every doggone thing else.
Yeah, I've seen that photo of Y.A. Tittle. Yeah, he is just a battered-looking guy. And,
so if anybody wants to know about what it was back then, and, you know, you go check that out. You'll see what a quarterback – and, you know, another thing, too, Eric, is when quarterbacks played then, you know, and I'm not saying – I mean, they smart the slide, but if you slid back when those guys were playing, you know, you were considered a coward.
Yeah.
That's what you were considered.
Yeah.
It was simple as that.
Yeah, Franco Harris used to run out of bounds to preserve his career, and they called him soft.
Yeah, they did. You know, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Chuck, Kirk Cousins, he's been a lightning rod.
Right.
He gets a lot of criticism, maybe sometimes too much. But what do you want to see out of him tomorrow against New Orleans?
Well, to be able to play under pressure. Because that's the thing that makes him different. And for him not to be under pressure, of course, it's going to take all the things that makes him good. And that is the offensive line is going to have to be on there to be at their best. The receivers are going to have to be at their best. And let me just refer back to the offensive line and the defensive line. If the Vikings are going to win tomorrow, those guys up front are going to have to make it happen. Because when they make it happen, everything around and everybody around them, you know, their jobs are easier. So it's what's up front that counts both offensively and defensively. And if they can do that, they got a chance, you know, to win.
Yeah, and I believe, Chuck, they have to make Drew Brees look and feel like a 40-year-old quarterback. Pressure him, harass him, sack him, knock the ball down, move him off his spot.
Right.
Because he's not Lamar Jackson. And if you make him uncomfortable, then you may do some good things on defense, create some turnovers.
Well, they're going to have to do some things. We have a couple defensive backs that are going to be out. So we'll see how Coach Zimmer is going to – what kind of package he's going to put in there. But the main thing is that defensive line has got to be the best that they can be tomorrow. Because I believe firmly if they put pressure on Drew Brees and beat him up a little bit – and I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is. You know, I mean, I think they have a chance to win the game in New Orleans.
You brought up the DBs. Minnesota depleted. Mackenzie Alexander and Mike Hughes will not play. They're two of the top slot cornerbacks for the Vikings, and they run Michael Thomas a lot out of the slot. And what that means is he's 2 or 3 yards off the line of scrimmage, so you can't press him, you can't jam him. It's tough, Chuck, when your secondary's banged up, that puts even more pressure on those guys up front, doesn't it?
You know, it certainly does. So that's going to have to happen. The guys are going to have to play their best football of the year. And, you know, they're 10-6, but, you know, forget all that. Because now everybody's the same. It's 0-0. So now all we've got to do is come out and play the kind of football that they're capable of. And I've already said it 2 or 3 times already, but I'm going to say it again. I don't think that there's another roster in the game today that has better talent, maybe as good a talent, but, you know, our guys have to be more consistent, you know, with their play. And if they can do that and shore up that part of their game, you know, there could be some good things that happen for the Vikings. If not, then, you know, they'll be coming home wondering what happened again.
Chuck, you've been in Minnesota a long time now. You call Eden Prairie home. You've followed the Gopher football program year in, year out. I think what we saw on New Year's Day, to me, was a pinnacle win. They beat an SEC team, a blue blood, Auburn 31-24 in the deep south down in Tampa. I thought it was a marvelous day for the Gopher football program. What were your takeaways?
Well, I certainly do. I thought the Gophers played some excellent football. I think the coach there has put the program in a good place. I think there's been some other coaches that have done that too, but this particular time, of course, the coach that he replaced did a great job too, but you know, it seems that he's found a way and brought in the type of players that he needs to make his program one of the elite programs in the Big Ten. And if he continues to do so, I think Minnesota, Minneapolis, it's a great place for a college football team to have success, and they've done it before over there years ago, and there's no reason why they can't do it again because Minneapolis is a fantastic place. University of Minnesota is a great school, and, you know, as we saw when they beat Penn State, you know, what kind of fans they have. So I think when you win here, it's been a long time because it used to be the Vikings. Now, you know, let's face it, the Gophers have taken over as the most popular team in Minnesota. So that's the way I see it anyway, because, you know, the people have really rallied around the University of Minnesota, and that's deserving because they've done a really good job. And I'm hoping, you know, that their coach stays, and I don't, you know, that's the key.
Yeah, PJ, no doubt, he's a hot commodity. Do you think this
right.
win over Auburn, Chuck, will be a trampoline game? It will have a bounce on recruiting, ticket sales, branding the program?
I think the University of Minnesota made some great strides in that win, beating Auburn. And they've already had some, you know, brought in some really good players. They got some All-Americans on the team. And as I said, this is a great place for anybody to go to school. And if they keep their local talent local, I think they can do some great things.
And before I let you go, I know you're cruising around town right now, but what does it mean for North Minneapolis to see one of their own, Tyler Johnson, blow up in that game against Auburn. He's going to go to the NFL. Jacob Fry, the mayor, called it Tyler Johnson Day today here in the Mill City. That means a lot for North Minneapolis, doesn't it?
It certainly does. They've had some great basketball players come out of there, but I don't know of many football players that come out of North Minneapolis. And he's worked hard. He's going to have a nice NFL career. He stayed in school, and he did it the right way. And, you know, I think that's deserving for him to have a big day. And, he is the guy that will be the measuring stick from here on out as far as recruiting goes.
Yeah, and a good friend of yours and mine, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., said that last year Tyler Johnson asked him about, hey, should I come out? You know, should I enter the NFL after my junior year? And Larry said, well, you probably need to go back and get seasoned and learn the game a little more so you hit the ground running when you're a senior. And that appeared to pay off, didn't it?
It certainly did. And he's one of, like I say, he's one of the better, well, one of the better receivers in the country, you know, so he can play with anybody. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out for him from here on out. And, of course, we'll all be in this corner.
All right, Chuck, we're going to let you go. A happy 2020, and we'll catch you on the tube tomorrow after that Vikings-Saints playoff game.
Sounds great, man. Have a good one, Eric.
All right, very good. Number 44, Chuck Foreman in that Minnesota Vikings Ring of Honor. And trust me, folks, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I just can't believe that he hasn't gotten the Hall call.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.